Afternoons with Pepper Hudson.
Pepper Hudson.
And now, Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Question, is there less ice cream in your favorite tub than there was before? And are you still paying the same price for it, even though there's less? Even worse, are you perhaps paying more? What products have you noticed quietly shrinking before your eyes on the supermarket shelf? It's been dubbed shrinkflation, and I know it probably drives you nuts because it definitely drives me nuts. It also drives Gail nuts. She's already sent me an email saying we're very enthusiastic. Dental tooth flosses, dental floss in the car, dental floss next to the bed, in the handbag, etc. And we have always bought the same brand, Oral-B Satin Floss. Last year, I couldn't understand why the dental floss was getting finished so quickly. Then we noticed that although the price had stayed the same, at that time it was still 79 Rand at the OK and the Spa, the meters had changed from 50 to 25. And Gail says, well, now I keep and use it twice. I'm sure the dentists might not think that's such a good idea though, Gail, and I'm sure all of us would agree that halving the contents of the package without changing the price is nothing short of highway robbery. Wendy Nola, our consumer watchdog, is big on the issue of shrinkflation, and she's standing by to answer your questions on 021-446-0567. Remember, you can also send an SMS to 31567 or leave us a voice note on 072-567-1567. Wendy, I've heard of shrinkflation, but to literally halve the quantity of product in the same package and not do anything with the price, that's taking it to the extreme, isn't it?
That is rather. And, well, we haven't checked it out independently because we've just got that email. But I think it sounds like that particular family is very into their dental floss and they probably have checked. The thing with that is that it's such a takes up such small volume, so they can, and that you can hide the fact that there's only half. It just requires you, they're legal in that they're declaring the meterage, but they don't have to say now half what you used to get for the same price. So many consumers wouldn't realize, it would take them a while to realize. And this is the thing, no one's saying don't, you know, your inputs costs have gone up, so you must absorb them and not pass them on. The thing is, do it in a transparent way. So put the price up on the same pack and don't go to this whole expensive repackaging exercise to make it, you know, to make it smaller in a way that most consumers may not notice, and in that way make it more expensive. But it's a very complicated issue, Pippa, because it becomes an affordability thing. So the manufacturers will say, well, there's a price point beyond which consumers are resistant to go, so we're making them this affordable for them, but by giving them less. So it's a very complicated issue. But I do know from more than a decade of tracking this trend that consumers don't take very kindly to it at all.
You've been watching this for a long time now, and it's been, I think, primarily groceries that have driven it. It's been things like cool drinks and tomato sauce and the chocolate bars. I mean, remember what happened to Toblerone, for example.
Yeah, poster child for shrinkflation.
I mean, so as you said, it's about making the pack ever so slightly smaller without changing the price and hoping that we won't notice that we're now paying a higher rand per gram figure than we were before. But you've had some interesting responses on this, Wendy, because some of the, I know the cool drink and the confectionery people are trying to say now it's actually not about costs, it's about helping consumers to live healthier lifestyles.
Yes, so the waters have become muddied in the case of those manufacturers that make sugary things, so your cool drink manufacturers, your fizzies and your sweets and chocolates. So in November, Coca-Cola South Africa announced that along with reducing the average sugar content of its drink, so they've apparently reduced the sugar content on average by 16% in the last 3 years. They've also now reduced their pack sizes. So the 330 ml can became 300 ml. I remember the outcry when it went from 340 to 330, incidentally. And the 440 ml bottle has replaced the 500 ml bottle, and the prices remained the same. Coca-Cola said market research has shown that people are looking for packaging sizes that suit smaller households, not quite sure what that means, and make it easier to control the added sugar intake. So, and I've had some inside information just researching this topic, and people say actually, you know, that is a genuine it is a genuine imperative, and that the World Health Organizations and other bodies are imploring these manufacturers to look at their portion sizes. So it's not entirely disingenuous, but it does sort of add a different dimension to the whole shrinkflation debate.
It's a little hard to swallow, given that there are options for those who are being careful about their sugar intake to go for a Coke Light or a Coke Zero, an alternative product instead of a hidden smaller package. I don't really buy that argument.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be alone in that. And just this last couple of weeks, we heard from Elvia Else, who had noted that in recent months Nestle had downsized its iconic Bar One from 100 grams to 90 grams, so giant no more.
Treasonous.
And she was indignant. She said the bar itself is a lot thinner, but the packaging is still the same size. So her deduction was that that was to trick the consumer. When she complained to Nestle about the downsizing, and this is what prompted her to write to us, she was told, in light of keeping consumers in light of helping consumers enjoy indulgent eats responsibly, the business decided to opt for reducing the size while retaining the same great taste of Bar One.
I remain skeptical, but I have to say that there have been several messages popping into my SMS box and WhatsApp line over the last couple of minutes, Wendy, and almost all of them relate to junk food of some kind. So maybe there is something in this.
Maybe there is something. I know that the chocolate shrinkflation over the years, the Cadbury's, the Nestle, they've all done it. The Beacons, that's always elicited the Toblerone, always elicited the biggest outcry, followed closely by when all Gold Tomato Sauce had a smaller bottle that didn't go down very well at all. So I took this up with Nestle spokesman Ravi Pillay, who told me that the company had adopted portion control as a genuine strategy to help consumers make informed choices, and that the downsizing of the Bar One was not about affecting a price increase. He said, in fact, the price had been held since 2014, but that the stats, and we're going to sit down and go through them later, the stats with regard to inflation rate, price increase percentages, input price increases, etc., would bear that out. So there's that. As I say, the waters have become muddied by this whole sugar reduction thing. And then we heard from Sue Parker-Smith, who pointed out that it's not just the human snacks that are being affected.
We've got Sue on the line, so let me bring her into the conversation at this point. Sue, thanks so much for chatting to me. What product did you notice that was shrinking in size without shrinking in price?
I went to go buy dog food, and I always buy Bob Martin dog food. And I've just noticed over the past few months, the packaging keeps getting smaller. So I went to go and buy dog food this week, and they've gone from 8 to 6 kilograms. So it's gone 8 kilograms, 7 kilograms, then 6 kilograms. And I mean, it's not very expensive dog food, but then I was curious about this, so I started to look at the pricing on the shelf. And I saw an old price for an 8 kilogram dog food that was $1.99, and then a 7 kilogram dog food that was $247, and then a 6 kilogram dog food that was $209. And I mean, if you do the math, it's shrinkflation. And I can't really see why they're reducing the packaging and the amount of dog food they're selling. There's no healthy benefit to it. There's no reason for it.
Well, Wendy's going to give us some feedback from Bob Martin, but my question before we let you go, Sue, is are you still buying the product, or has it been enough to make you switch brands?
So I think we're all a bit lazy like that. When we know something, we just keep buying it and we just swallow it. So convenience
hopefully
means
not
I'll
the
probably
dog
carry
food.
On. No, not the dog food. But I probably will just keep on buying it. But I'm just vaguely irritated and I feel duped. You know, I just feel like they're pulling the wool over our eyes and they're thinking we won't notice.
Sue, thanks for chatting to us. And I think that is the crux of it. It's about communicating honestly with a customer about what you're buying and not trying to sneak it under the radar and hope we won't notice. With people like Wendy around, we will always notice and tell you. But Wendy, in this case, it's a little bit different, hey?
This case actually shows how complicated this issue can be and how manufacturers need to be very careful about how they communicate when they change the pack size and not to assume that consumers won't notice. So Bob Martin said that this wasn't an example of shrinkflation at all, but rather a complete revamp of its product with what they call significant relevant improvements. And they gave me a whole long list of all the additional healthy ingredients that they've now put into this product. So the story is that the same pack didn't go from 8 to 7 to 6. The same pack went from 8 kilograms to 6 kilograms after an upgrade of its ingredients. So it's always been available in two different ranges. The first range was in the silver bag, the 7 kilogram one. It's always been silver, 7 kilograms, and that's with meaty chunks, so it's a superior product. The Bob Martin Complete Condition range in the red bag, which is what we're discussing here, was previously in an 8-kilogram bag and now, as I said, in the 6-kilogram bag, but its formulation was overhauled and vastly improved. So the company spokesman said, producing an improved and higher quality product has increased costs, so that consumers can accurately compare pricing across the direct competitor set, we relaunched this range in the same bag size as them, which is 6 kilograms. So they didn't want to look more expensive at 8 kilograms, I suppose. This allows for accurate comparison, as well as, this is what I was alluding to at the beginning of the show, Pippa, as well as limiting the headline price to maintain the affordability of the product in terms of cash layout. What they've done is they've improved the product, and instead of making the 8-kilogram pack more expensive to in line with an enhanced product with more expensive ingredients, they made the pack smaller and kept the price about the same or maybe just slightly more expensive.
So by their argument, you're not really comparing apples with apples.
No.
You're comparing a peach with a nectarine.
But the fact that a regular buyer, such as Sue, has come away with the impression that it's just the same product in a smaller bag and that, you know, it's sneaky and all of that, tells me perhaps that there could be a better job of communicating on pack. This is actually a whole different product.
Yeah, it does indeed. Okay, Sue, thanks so much again for chatting to us. We've got loads of messages coming in from people listening. And if you'd like to call us and ask a question or make a comment about how you've been impacted by this or which particular change has made you feel aggrieved, the number to dial is 021-446-0567. You can also leave us a voice note.
Hello, Pippa and Wendy. It's Brenda speaking. I know that you're going to be talking about shrinkflation today, and I just wanted to tell you that the Nestle Albany chocolate bar that was supposed to be 80 grams barely tips the scales at 75. I used it in my baking, so I've been quite careful to measure, and it's a full 74 grams, but not completely 75. The other thing I wanted to tell you was that the Wellness Warehouse in Cavendish Square raises their prices over a couple of items every month, whether they need to or not. I bought some Himalayan salt there the other day, quite a while ago in fact, and the price on the shelf was different to the price at the till. So when I queried it, she referred to that very nice brochure that you can pick up outside their door, and the price had been increased by 4 rand. When I queried it and said, but there were still other packets on the shelf that was clearly not new stock, what was their pricing structure? The lady at the till said, oh, we increase our prices over a few items every month. And I just wondered if that's all right. Surely that's just greed. Anyway, I'd look forward to hearing your reply. Thanks. Bye.
Brenda, thanks for your message. Wendy, besides the shrinkflation issue, I'm also pricking up my ears at a price at the till that doesn't match the price at the shelf.
Yes. We've discussed this on the show. The Ombud for Consumer Goods and Services says if you get to the till and the product is more expensive when it's rung up than it was marked at the shelf, you are entitled to it at the lower price at least. And then you have some big retailers like Pick n Pay and Woolworths who actually compensate customers who've had that experience. Mostly only if the consumer knows about it. So you get double the difference back from Woolworths, and you get the first product free and the rest at the lower price from Pick n Pay. But your minimum right is to get the price at the product at the lower price, at the price that's, you know, on the shelf.
Yeah.
But as for pricing itself, we might feel that a price is greedy, but, you know, it's free enterprise. So it's up to us to do our homework to decide whether we want to buy a product at a particular price from a particular outlet or not. So nothing stops a company from charging whatever they want. It only the market will regulate that for them.
Well, Jason's got a similar theme on his tweet. Jason's saying Nestle are the kings of shrinkflation and Coca-Cola. Corporates in South Africa do it because consumers don't vote enough with their wallets. Jason making a strong case there for us to be more active consumers, more informed consumers, which is hopefully what we're trying to achieve with the slot.
Yes,
but he's got a point that we ultimately have the buying decision in our hands. Nobody's forcing us to buy the product.
We do. But you know the problem with shrinkflation, Pippa, is that once a market leader does it, all the rest will follow because they know that consumers, by and large, will not look for the unit price. They won't look at the per kilogram or per 100 milligram price, mainly because in a lot of stores it isn't there and you have to do your sums. So they're looking at, and the pack sizes all look the same because we're talking about slight shrinkage here. So, it's a case of let's look at the manufacturer who isn't doing it, because eventually they all do it because they don't want to look artificially more expensive. So your packs of bacon, one or two went down to 200 grams. They all eventually dropped because people are just looking at the price on the shelf. Same with ice creams. They were all 2 liters. And I mean, we've all got freezers and cupboards full of 2 liter tubs. Yeah. And now they 1.8 and some are 1.5, and you don't really notice it unless you're really paying attention. So it's a trend. The ones that hold out on principle eventually will drop because they're losing sales, because they look artificially more expensive, because not enough consumers are wise to this.
Jenny is wise to it, joining us on the line from Observatory. Jenny,
hi.
It's not just dog
Pippa.
Food. Hi.
Wendy. Hats off to Wendy for this warrior stance you take. I really appreciate it. I have a huge issue, and I tried to speak to somebody at Pick and Pay in Observatory the other day about it. Pick and Pay, it's not a no-name Pick and Pay brand. It's a brand on its own, but only stocked by Pick and Pay. It's their kind of, you know, star cat food. I think they have dog food too, which doesn't apply to me. I have 4 cats. I go through endless cat food, as you can imagine. And the cat food that they were selling, I think it's a 2 kilo pack, was selling for, it was something like 75 or whatever. Then it went to 85.99. It was still that price about a month ago, I like to guess, because I normally buy lots at a time. And when I went in last week, it had shot up to $113.99, from $85.99 to $113, which is absolutely ridiculous. Nobody else stocks the stuff, only Pick and Pay. My cats like it. And I'm sitting now in a situation where it's gone up, it's nearly 30 rand, roughly, if my math serves me correctly. When I spoke to somebody there who wasn't, she was not a top manager, but she's quite high up in the hierarchy at that branch. She kind of looked bored and said to me, well, you know, some prices go up and some go down.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a good handling of the situation from a customer service perspective. We do have to break for news, but Wendy, when we come back from the news and after the break, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on just how big a jump we're expected to swallow. And I mean, that's pretty substantial, an increase of more than 30 rand over a very short space of time. A couple of people asking whether we have any rights in terms of the Consumer Protection Act to push back against this kind of practice. So Jenny, please stay listening. We'll give you some feedback.
Contract concerns, shopper tips, and purchase nightmares. This is Consumer Talk.
We're back with Wendy Nola, our consumer watchdog, talking shrinkflation. Also happy to talk any other consumer issue that might be bothering you today. Although, gosh, my email box has been flooded, Wendy, and a lot of them...
I'm not surprised.
The ones that aren't about chocolate are about toilet paper and baby wipes. That seems to be the next big bugbear that people are saying. That if there are fewer tissues in the box, there are fewer sheets of toilet paper on
there
the
are.
Rolls, and they are thinner and less effective than they used to
be. Okay, well, something about toilet paper before we go on. The number of sheets is regulated. So whereas the double ply used to always have to be 350, a few years ago there was a concession made, obviously pushed for by the toilet paper manufacturers or some of them, and they can now do a 200 sheet roll as well, as long as they mark the number of sheets. And they used to be called mini, but some of them aren't called mini. So unless you're actually looking, the rolls sort of look the same size in the pack. And if you see a pack of rolls at what seems to be a very good price, please just check whether it's 200 or 350. Very big difference, like the dental floss. You run out of one a lot quicker than the other. So that's just something there. They can't arbitrarily do, you know, 150 sheets or 310. It's got to be either 350 or 200. I'm talking double ply now.
You learn something new every day. Thank you, Wendy. Okay. Let's hello to Vera, who's given us a call from Cape Town. Vera, good afternoon.
Hi there.
You wanted to talk about the Coca-Cola again.
Yes, I don't believe anything that Coke are saying, because with the changeover from the 500ml bottles to the 450, they've actually released 500ml bottles in glass, and they're cheaper. So the 440 averages about 11 rand, and the glass for 500 averages around 8 rand, and you can still then return the bottle for what's like between a 120 or 150 deposit.
My goodness. So the glass packaging, which you would think would be more expensive than plastic, is actually the cheaper version by far if you do those sums.
Exactly. And they even have to then have in their plants the cleaning facilities, which then cost them more manufacturing costs.
Mm. Goodness.
Okay, maybe we should get one of the spokesmen on another show, because there'll all sorts of factors here. I've learned from 20 years of experience.
Yes.
There'll be promotional aspects. There'll be consumer demand, volumes, all that kind of thing. So it would be interesting exercise if there's enough listener interest to get someone on and talk through these issues.
I'd love to do that, Wendy. We are going to be talking to Petco, the plastic recycling people, in a week or two on the water feature, because a lot of people are asking about reusing plastic water bottles that we're all busy buying frantically in Cape Town. But I'd be interested to hear that side of the story from the consumer demand side and from the production side.
Because in terms of, well, certainly it's got to be in our water bottles that create the most waste, but traditionally the most plastic waste, unnecessary plastic waste, because those PET bottles are so brilliant to recycle, but most of that waste has been generated by the cool drink industry.
Okay.
If you just have to look at any litter sat, you'll see that, so that'll be an interesting one.
Definitely, but, as you said, so many aspects to it, because there's also the electricity consumption used in recycling glass, I know, is huge, for example, so there are all kinds of factors you need to look at. We'll definitely follow that one up.
Okay.
Kurt is on the line from Belleville, and his complaint was about burgers, but we've lost Kurt, so we'll try and get him back again. In the meantime, on the SMS line, Adrian saying this is a load of absolute codswillop coming out of these marketers' mouths. It is just greed. The Cadbury's 200 grams went to 180 grams with huge outcry. There's now a scant 150 grams left.
Yep.
Has anyone noticed that 25% decrease? And to think their slogan used to be about their thick chocolate. Adrian, thank you for your SMS. I confess I hadn't noticed that it was down to 150.
Yeah.
That's a big, big drop. Shana's also making a good point here, that another ploy that's often used to hide these between competitors is that one yogurt will become measured in milliliters and the other in grams, which makes it difficult to compare accurately. You know, the tricky thing is looking for those price comparisons by gram. Wendy, they make them as tiny as possible. I often feel you need a magnifying glass to read some of them.
But on the pack or on the shelf.
When you read the label on the shelf, it's the only way to tell for sure, to compare like for like in some cases.
It's a bugbear of mine that it's not legal for all retailers, certainly in the grocery space, fast-moving consumer goods, to actually put that unit price on the shelf label, on the shelf tag, especially given that we are living in a time of rampant shrinkflation. So you'd have the selling price, $24.99, and then in the bottom left, normally the per kilogram in the case of Pick and Pay, and or the per 100 grams in the case of Checkers. The Spars and Woolworths and other retailers don't do it. So it makes it harder for consumers to make an informed choice on which is the best buy at a glance without having to do sums. Because if you're buying cereal, for example, how do you compare, I don't know, they're odd, 480 grams with 375 or whatever. You know, it requires quite a lot of advanced maths as you're standing in the noisy supermarket to try and figure out which is the best deal. Whereas if the unit price is there, you can see at a glance, not only between the different pack sizes in one particular brand, but across all the competitors. So I'm something I've been pushing for and making a noise about for a long time. But again, nothing changes unless enough consumers care enough to make enough noise. Yes.
I'm just thinking it would be so nice to be able to make that kind of comparison across shops as well, to have a sense of realistically, is it more expensive to shop at Woolies versus the local Spa versus the Checkers, to be able to compare the same brand in different stores on the same basis.
Exactly, and that's just reminding me of something. A couple of years ago, South African, I've gone blank, the organization that works out all the statistics,
Stats SA.
They actually had to change their whole inflation calculating model to take into account shrinkflation because the pack sizes had all changed. So they had to now introduce a sort of variation or component or whatever to take that into account because otherwise the figures would have been all out.
Mm.
So it's got lots of implications in lots of ways. But the bottom line is if as a consumer right now, looking out for the unit price is really about the only thing you can do. Somebody asked, is this legal? Does it not infringe some sort of CPA? No, it doesn't. The only requirement is that the pack size is declared. But because the downsizing of the pack is normally quite subtle, it's actually calculated so that you don't really notice, unless you're specifically looking for it, it's difficult to try and recall, okay, what was it and is this, you know, 45 grams, is this less than it was before? You know, it takes a very sharp consumer. And there are many out there. And most of the times when I come out and talk about the subject with new examples, it's because a reader or a listener has alerted me to it, knowing that I track the trend quite closely. So I'm indebted to them. But, yeah, so the unit price is really, if you get used to looking at that, you will become quite a savvy consumer in that way.
Hussey in Grassy Park wants to talk about exactly that, being a savvy consumer. And Hussey, I think you want to make the case for being a more active consumer and talking with our wallets. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Pippa. South Africans are very complacent as far as how they are treated by retailers, manufacturers, etc. They just open up their wallets and they pay. They never question what they are getting, what they are paying. Now, the decrease in volume and the increase in price for the same product can easily be solved. But it takes a courage which South Africans do not have. It's a simple weapon of the boycott. The 180-gram chocolate, for example. If people decide, I won't buy that chocolate, can you imagine what's going to happen to that chocolate? And that can go for every item on the shelf, where they think they are being unfairly priced and the quantities are different to what it used to be. All you need to do not buy. The word is boycott. And you can, for example, if you targeted a store, that's treating people with contempt as far as prices are concerned, and everybody decides we're not shopping there for a month, there are going to be some pains because the staff is going to be affected as well. That store will have to close down. But they'll have to, sit up and smell the coffee. Something is wrong. They are ripping the public off and they have no consciences.
Hussey, it's a view shared by a number of listeners sending similar thoughts on the SMS that it comes down to greed, pure and simple. Here's one from Sandy on our WhatsApp line saying they are totally not interested in consumer health. It's all about the bottom line. Profit, profit, profit in this greedy world. Wendy, I'm sure you would agree with a lot of what Hussey said there about the need for consumers to be the ones driving the process and vote with your wallet, as it were. But it's not always that easy if there isn't an alternative product or if you particularly like a given brand because of the quality, for example.
Exactly. And you can sort of see why on the converse that some of them go for the pack downsizing. Because Jenny's case with her four cats eating that particular brand of cat food that they enjoy. It's gone from, in a very short space of time, up around 30 rand, from 86, let's call it, to 114 for the 2-kilogram pack. Now, if they subtly downsized that to 1.8 kilograms and kept that price increase far lower as a result, she probably, I don't know, would she have found that more
acceptable.
But you can see, I avoided that. So you can sort of see the dynamics here, that things that, because there's a certain point beyond which consumers say, I'm not going to buy it. So if they'd kept chocolate bars, for example, at 200 grams, and this continues to be the category where I get most complaints about shrinkflation, and the price, because the price of nuts and the price of cocoa and, you know, all the expensive ingredients have gone through the roof. If that product was now at 200 grams, whatever the cost was, how many people would stop eating chocolate because they just found that unaffordable? So it's quite an interesting debate. My issue is they should be more transparent about it.
Yeah.
And maybe have two different sizes so that those that feel, you know, would rather have the bigger size at the price rather than having the price increase disguised through getting less. I don't know, but I do think that whatever whatever's out there, there should be more transparency around it, because consumers do not respond well to feeling like they've been duped. Mm. And if the manufacturers wanted us to know it was a smaller pack, believe me, there would be something on the pack, on the new packaging that they have paid a fortune for.
Yeah.
The pack would say, now in a smaller size. They wanted us to know that.
Said and no manufacturer ever.
That. Yeah. Ever. Exactly. Yeah.
Paul in Tableview, you still want to talk about the Coke issue in particular. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pippa and Wendy. Thank you for an interesting show.
Thanks.
It's been irritating me for a long time. Coke Zero is not available in the returnable bottles, which proves that the other lady was saying that the returnable bottles are cheaper. And if they were concerned about our health, they would be cross-subsidizing the Coke Light and encouraging people to drink it, as well as you don't get Lemonade Light or the Sprite Zero in the 500-gram or the 440-gram even. So they're encouraging the people to go for the sweet stuff. So what's really going to be interesting is when the sugar tax comes in, theoretically, all the sugar-free products should be cheaper.
Theoretically.
Yes, a lot of people are watching that very closely. So it will be very interesting. And
great point,
I really sense another show coming.
I do.
On around this issue.
Paul, thanks for your call. Okay, we're going to move away from shrinkflation for just a moment to say hello to Colin in Westlake. And it's nice to be able to say, I think we have a positive consumer story here. Colin, good afternoon.
Hello, Pippa. Yeah, I had to go to Johannesburg yesterday for a funeral.
Sorry.
And not being used to rain, we didn't even think about umbrellas, nothing like that. And for the entire time we were outside, which was just 45 minutes, the rain bucketed down and we got completely soaked. My iPhone died in front of me when I got back to the car, and I just thought I hadn't saved nothing, and I was just about freaking. My mate was getting back at me for whatever reason. I came down here, back to Cape Town last night. The Vodacom guys would have taken 3 weeks. iPhone would have taken 4 days. I found this little place down in Westlake. They fixed it within 45 minutes. Absolutely amazing. They can do Apple, anything Apple. They can fix it. They can do computers. It's an amazing little bunch of folks. All young people, young techies doing amazing stuff. I'm talking to you from my cell phone. It works.
That's fantastic. Colin, what's the name of the store you took it to? Colin, are you still there?
No.
Oh, dear. Maybe the repair didn't work quite as well as we thought. Maybe, to be fair, Colin is driving, so I hope he's not talking to us on that phone unless it's on a hands-free. I'm going to put him back to my producer. Amy, why don't you just take Colin's details? I'd like to be able to tell listeners the name of the shop he got such great service from and had a phone fixed, we hope, in 45 minutes. So we'll share that with you. In the meantime, let's say hello to Brian on the line from Cape Town. Brian, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Hi, Wendy. I want to know how come fruit and veg all of a sudden is being weighed, like watermelons and spunspeck and all those kind of things, whereas in the past they never used to be weighed. Now it's per gram. That is a complete rip-off from the fruit and veg department.
Why do you think it's a rip-off, Brian? My immediate thought is that you're paying only for what you're buying. I actually think the opposite, that that's fair. You don't pay the same price for a small watermelon as you do for a big one. Why does it bother you, sir?
No, you do. I mean, you go to a food lover's market, if they charge you for a small watermelon, 30 rand, for instance sakes. You go to anybody else and they're charging you 5.99 a kilo.
I'm not sure that I'm understanding, Brian. You're saying you would or would not like to see them weighed and charged per gram?
No, we never used to have that in the past. It never used to happen in the past. In the past, they used to charge you per product.
Okay.
Wendy, your response? To my mind, that seems fair.
I'm with Pippa on this one. I mean, I found it, because these products are not made in a factory, they vary considerably in size. So to me, it's far fairer. If you pay exactly gram for gram what you're getting. I have a similar argument with the supermarkets that sell those cooked chickens, because unlike raw chickens and other items like slices of ham or whatever in the delis that are paid for per gram, those cooked chickens are sold at a set price, and you get, and if you arrive late in the day or late in their run, you get the tiny little pigeon at the same price as the bigger ones. They say that they control the sizes, but they can't. It's, again, not made in a factory. And I've been pushing for that and without much success, because occasionally consumers complain about it. I think it's always fairer to pay for when items aren't uniform to pay per gram. That's, I can't see how that's not fair. But
I can't either, you know, but okay.
Some people are just resistant to change, perhaps.
Perhaps we are. Perhaps we are. Wendy, it's been a fascinating hour. Thanks so much for joining us, as always.
Thanks,
and we'll chat again next week.
For sure. Thank you.
Just a reminder that if you would like to tackle an issue, see us tackle an issue, if there is a consumer complaint that you're involved with that you'd like to see us dig into, the way to contact Wendy is to send an email to consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R, and just put the words Cape Talk in the subject line, as well as a word or two to identify the problem. So, for example, Cape Talk cell phone contract, or Cape Talk timeshare, whatever it may be. Send it through to Wendy and we'll do our best to tackle the issue in an upcoming show.